in the control room and we are to enjoy. And the other way around, it's people pushing things to make things happen. And it's really sometimes flesh. And I'm not saying it's all wrong, but at one point, I was very conscious of, first of all, I had privileged information. This particular CD was done in Jerusalem, in Israel rather, at Mount Carmel and Haifa, correct. You and I had quite an experience on that mountain, and I'm sure that that has not been forgotten. But I was very aware of the place of safety, even in the threat of the darkness. The place of safety overwhelms. The place of refuge, where no matter what's going on around you, it's like the Israelites were in Goshen and hell was breaking loose on the Egyptians. And in reality, they had absolutely nothing to worry about. They were safe and well kept. And that's where we're going to be going. So.
I just
want to
say that this, with the belts.
Yes. Specialists of all types.
Whatever happens.
Yeah. Specialists of all types. Yeah. Nothing to worry about. The coordinates are already in. You know, some are going to be led to have money. Some are going to be led to have this or that. You're going to be led to be prepared for whatever. And it's not going to be a problem. God's going to take us through. So there'll be carpenters and there'll be this and there'll be that. And I didn't see a doctor's belt, but I'm sure there must be at least one.
Huh? My mind got it in the way, and I kept thinking, what do you put on a carpenter's belt? I mean, what do you put on a doctor's belt?
Stethoscope.
And a tongue depressor.
I should have said it because it did come to me, but my mind got in the way.
Your brain got in the way? Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure that Bob Trump had something to wear. Okay. Got to pick on him a little bit. Anyway, I want you to come to with me to Exodus. Huh? Go borrow one over there. That's it. Exodus. Teacher's belt. Good. Pencils, rulers, etc. Good news. Exodus chapter 11. And I just want to touch a couple points on chapter 11. You can kind of check it out if you want later on, but the plagues of darkness have already been going on in chapter 11. And 10, etc. It's going on. It's on progression, if you wish. And it says, now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. He. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. Okay. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people of Moses himself, was highly rewarded or regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Notice it's not the enemy that's going throughout Egypt, it's the Lord. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her right handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. So you need to be aware. That's an incredible judgment. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. What does that say? You, because of who you are in Christ, the Lord makes a distinction between you and those that don't have a belief in God, a trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. So the pattern is very similar. So you need to be aware that when He works with you, it is different than He does with those who are in unbelief. Okay? All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, "Go you and all the people who follow you." After that I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. And the Lord had said to Moses, "Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt." Did you hear that? So, you need to be aware that even if Moses is the anointed man of God, he gets upset. So if you get upset once in a while, it is not the end of the world. I would suggest you get over it. Okay? The Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you." Why is God warning Moses ahead? He's prepared, exactly. So Moses will remain at peace. He's not going to get bent out of shape. But there's a reason. "So that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt." Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh. But the Lord, did you hear? The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. The Lord Well, I think sometimes we underestimate God's ability to harden somebody's heart. And when God wants to do something, even with those around you, He has an ability to harden their hearts for His own purpose. And I didn't like that for a while. I didn't like what I saw in some of those that were around me. I was upset. And the Lord reminded me in Romans 9, it's the same story. It's the Lord that hardens hearts for a purpose. And the purpose is to change you and me. He's got His heart on you, and He's got His love and His protection on you, and He is preparing you. He's not preparing them yet. And I stress the word yet. Okay? Later, when they are in trouble and aware of the hardship, they may bow their knee and wake up. Chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family. One for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of the lambs needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be year-old males without defects." By the way, they're right there. Okay? One of our girls examined them. They're perfect. There's one on the altar, too, by the way. Okay? And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day. So how many days are they going to be inspected? 4 days of the month. I'm sorry. This starts on the 10th and then on the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. That's why it is time for Passover when the sun goes down. That's the beginning of the new day. Then you are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire. Head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Notice it didn't say it was their Passover. It is the Lord's Passover. They are not doing this because it's a great idea to have roasted lamb that night. It is the Lord that's going to go by their home and protect everything that's in that house. That in itself shows you his ability to really protect you and all that are in your home. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animal, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. Notice, who is he against?
The gods.
The gods of Egypt. See, it's not just the people, the Egyptians. Some of them are not that swift. They haven't caught on. Okay? So there is judgment coming against the gods of Egypt. I remember one day the Lord said to me, look, what's happened in Japan? What is he dealing with in Japan? Is it any different? No. It's the same story. It has not changed. Why is it that it's important for us to consider the Passover now? Why is it an eternal feast that's supposed to be celebrated every year by all of his people? See, you have been brought into the kingdom of the praisers, which is the Jew. You've been adopted. How? By the blood of that lamb. That's how you got into this kingdom. You didn't get in just because you decided that it was a great idea. You got in because God called you. And some of you are still having a hard time with it. And that's all right. I mean, you know, you can argue with the Lord all day. And I hate to say it, but he's going to win, not you. Okay? I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So this Passover is a protection. At the same time, it prevents the enemy from going in. Amen? Amen. This day, this is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. Are you a generation that has followed? Was Pharaoh before you or after you? Got it. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. That's, by the way, represented sin. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it, from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, which is what we're doing, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. This is all you may do. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Notice he repeated it twice. I believe that many, many times we think of this as a ritual. And each year I keep crying out to the Lord, make sure, Father, that we don't follow any specific rules, but whatever you want, we will do. On Sunday, I had a vision of those two banners that are inside that little court corner there. And I saw that that white banner with all of the Ten Commandments on it. And the Lord said, make sure that you push it way back. So I put it up, and the other one represents the blood covenant. So you have the first covenant, which is the law, designed for you to be seeing yourself. The Ten Commandments were designed for you to see your own sin. That's the bottom line. They were not done away with. They were left there so that you, anytime you want to check and see, thou shalt not, you'll get a see that you're not always obedient. But the blood one, the red one, is love. It's loaded with hearts, and it has a message. It says, I'm my beloved, and he is mine. And if I read it right side up, it helps. Songs of Solomon 6:3. His banner over me is love. Songs of Solomon 2, verse 4. That's the banner we're under. It is the banner that you're to use against all of your adversaries. How many have a few friends that don't like you? Thank you. Love them. Love them until you get so overwhelmed with that love that they will bow their knee. And that's the intent of the Passover feast. It's to let you see that love will never fail. And when you're pouring out love on those that are angry at you, sometimes it's going to feel like you're pouring liquid fire on them. Because they're going to hate you twice as much. But don't stop. The love flow that started on Calvary will continue. And I don't have, let's say, a few years of experience. I have quite a few. And I've learned over the years, if you pour out love on those that can't stand you, they will change. And God will bring them into the kingdom. But it may not be on your time slot. That I will remind you. It may take time. It may take more than you realize. So be patient with yourself. And be patient with those that can't stand you. Because there really is a reason that they don't like you. It's because of Him. It is because of Him. He is the greatest gift that could ever be given to us. As Kim Clement was under that anointing tonight in one of those songs, when the Lord is crying out that he can't look at his son because of the sin, that moves way down inside your inner core. And all I can tell you is, as of this particular Passover feast, when we gather tomorrow at 11, I would like you to kind of keep a little note here and there, mental notes if you wish, as to what the Lord is doing during the night, early morning, tomorrow morning, and be ready to share what your heart has received. Because it's not going to stop at 9 o'clock just because it's 9. It's going to continue. And that's my heart for you.